Amen. Appreciate that song tonight. So take your Bibles, turn over to the book of Psalms, and I want to look in the 84th Psalm tonight. Psalm 84. I don't plan on being long tonight. I don't know how long my voice will hold out for it. Anyways, so but I do want to give you some thoughts the Lord gave me out of this chapter, out of this maybe one or two verses really mainly here. And pray it'll be a blessing and a help to you tonight and this midweek service. And aren't you still glad for midweek church, for Wednesday night church, come out of the world, and just spend some time around the Word of God and things of God. And I always appreciate it. And I appreciate the Lord letting us do it. And I pray it'll be a blessing and a help to you. I quoted a verse out of this chapter and one we're going to be dealing with tonight. I think it was maybe Sunday or here not long ago, quoted a verse out of this chapter. And the Lord just kind of gave me some thoughts on it, and I want to give them to you and pray it'll be a blessing. Look with me in Psalm 84, verse number 8. It says, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy court is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And well, that's a great desire right there. That's where all of our hearts ought to be. And that's where everybody's heart ought to be. Is I'd rather be in the house of God, doing the work of God, serving the Lord. I mean, he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. I mean, the lowest of the low. Lord, if you just give me the lowest job, I'd rather be there than enjoying the things that the wicked are out enjoying. Boy, that ought to be our desire. Verse 11, though, he says, For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. And I'm going to end off reading. That's the end of the chapter. And I'm interested really kind of in these last few verses here, specifically in verse 11. And this is the verse that I quoted here not too long ago, and it's probably a pretty well-known verse for all of us. We've probably heard this verse quoted. Many of us maybe even haven't memorized ourselves. And this is an interesting verse because it's a verse made up really of three standalone statements. You could take all three of these statements, and it's one sentence, but I mean, you really could. It's three statements that could be a standalone statement. It's an imperative statement, really all by itself. And so these three statements compose this verse, and what it does, the verse as a whole with these statements, kind of tells us some things about the character of God. And that's one of the wonderful things about the Word of God, is that the Word of God is always showing us things concerning the character of God. It's giving us a picture and giving us a greater image of what God is and who God is. It's showing us and telling us who He is. Listen, well, you'll not find out who God is through some weird experience. You'll not find God through country music or rock music. You'll not find God, you know, through TBN preachers. You'll not find God through poetry and all the weird things the world's trying to do to find God. You'll find God, find out who He is through this Bible. Amen. And so if you really want to know God, know who He is and know what He expects of you, and know if you want to know all those things, you'll find it in the Word of God. And that's what the Bible is doing. And the more and more you know, the more you study, the clearer the picture of God becomes. Now, we'll never get a perfectly clear picture of who God is until we meet Him face to face. Amen. Until Jesus comes, the Bible says, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And only then will we get this perfectly clear picture. We'll know Him and be known. Amen. But through the Word of God, we can know Him more and more and more as we walk through this life until we get there. And this one little verse and these three little statements kind of give us a few more pieces to kind of clear up that picture concerning God's character and who He is. Now, one reason this interests me is because, again, this is the last service of 2022. And all of these things were true this past year. As we go down through them, you'll be able to look through the last year. You'll be able to look at your life, your experiences, the ups and downs, the things God brought you through, the things you faced, the things you dealt with. You'll look at all of them and you'll say, yeah, all those things, God was the same way through all those as it said as he says he would be in these verses here. And not only that, but can we look back in the past year and see that this is who God is? We'll be able to know in the year ahead as we face 2023, not knowing what we're going to face yet. God knows, but we don't. We don't know what the government's going to do. We don't know what the economy's going to do. We don't know what the currency's going to do. We don't know what's going to happen across the world. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. There's so many unknowns. There's no way we can know, but God knows. But one thing we do know is that God will still be God. And just as this was Him in 2022, this will be Him in 2023. Amen? And so I want to look at a few of these things kind of with that in mind. And that's kind of what's got me thinking about all this is these things regarding the character of God. And just taking these three statements, these three sentences here, let's look at them and see what we can learn. First of all, the very first thing He says in verse 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield." He is a sun and shield. And so that's the very first statement of the three in the verse. And what we find concerning the character of God in that statement, we find something out concerning the work of God. The way God works and what He is working. See, God provides humanity both with light and protection. He is a sun and shield. And the work of God, part of the work of God, is in providing humanity with light and with protection. Being the light, the sun of man, the sun to man, and the protection, the shield to man. See, the sun speaks of light. That's what the sun does. It provides light and warmth and energy. You know, God does all that for humanity. He is the light to humanity. He is the warmth to humanity. He is the energy to humanity. Listen, life would not exist without God. Amen? Listen, all things consist by Him. Without Him, we are nothing. From a physical perspective, I'm talking about a purely natural perspective, but even beyond that, in the more serious, the more important things, spiritually speaking, He is all of those things still. Amen? He is the light. God is the great enlightener of humanity. If anyone is to know God, if anyone is to know right, if anyone is to understand the Word of God, if any man is to lead his family right, if any woman is to be a godly woman, if any child is to know God, if any older person, if anyone is to know what is right and wrong and to know God, it's going to have to come from God. He is the enlightener. In fact, John 8 verse 12 tells us, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Amen? Now, you leave out God and you will walk in darkness. If this world leaves out God, they will walk in darkness. As we're watching unfold in our nation and in our society, listen, we are leaving out God. Therefore, humanity is walking in darkness. People are losing their minds. They are losing their minds. They are losing people talk about the moral compass. Man, that was lost a long time ago. We're losing the natural compass, the compass of nature, things that just nature teaches you. And I tell you what that comes from. That comes from leaving out God. You leave out the sun and the shield, and this world, this society becomes a very dark place to live. But the same is true for me and you as individuals. The same is true in our homes. The same is true in our church. We leave God out, we will wind up in darkness. Not knowing the way, not knowing the right direction. Listen, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. The ends thereof are the ways of death. And so I'm telling you, you leave God out long enough, you'll think you're going the right way and you'll wind up in the wrong place. Amen? Because He is the light. See, this is particularly true in the most important matters of life, spiritual matters. eternal matters, things that matter the most. I was just having a conversation today with a man talking. We were talking about our families and our kids, and we were really what we were talking about. I was actually asking him. You were talking about ideas about, you know, how they handle this cell phone business and how they're dealing with, you know, as their kids are getting older, you know, what are you doing? How are you and your family handling this cell phone thing and this internet thing? I said, listen, this is stuff none of us have ever faced before. And as a father and as a Christian and as a man who loves God, wants a godly life, I want to do it right. Amen. And I don't want to turn my kids loose to the world with unleashed, you know, access to every filthy, vile thing the devil has to offer. Amen. And so I'm asking him, you know, what are you doing? I'm trying to learn from somebody. By the way, their rule is for their kids, their rule is you are not allowed to look at anybody's cell phone. And I think that's a good rule. Amen. That'll probably be my rule for my kids as they get a little older. You are not allowed to look. If you're with somebody, a young person or anybody, unless it's us or your grandparents or somebody like that we trust, if they pull their cell phone out, you are to walk away immediately. And he said that it's a zero tolerance policy they have. And I agree. I think it's right. Amen. It don't take but a split second to get exposed to something, for a child that cannot handle that stuff, to get exposed to something that they'll never get away from. They'll never get away from it. And people say, oh, that's so over the top. And boy, that's so crazy. That's so bizarre. I'm telling you right now, it doesn't take but a half second. A half second. And I mean, the devil sows some seed down in there, an image or something, they'll never get out of their head forever. The rest of their life, they'll battle that. Amen. And so anyways, said all that to say this, and we were having this conversation, and he was talking about some of the things that he had done with his kids through the years, and at times how he had felt like he had been too hard and been, you know, been too over the top, and how the Lord has tempered him and helped him with some of these things. And he said one of the biggest things that changed in his life was that he changed his mentality from having a cause and effect mentality. He said he started out with his mentality with his family and serving the Lord was cause and effect. In other words, if I do this, you know, then this effect will happen. This is what will happen. You know, if I restrict this in my child's life, then they'll be, you know, they'll get not exposed to this, and then this will change, and they'll, you know, it was all cause and effect. If I do this, this will happen. But you know, at the end of the day, when it comes to serving God, that's the wrong mentality. You know, we don't serve God for cause and effect. We don't give to get. You realize that? Now, the Bible says if we do give, we will get. You know, if we tithe, you know, he said, I'll open up the windows of heaven and I'll pour out a blessing. But that's not the reason we tithe. It's not cause and effect. Listen to me. He said, give and it shall be given unto you, you know, heaped up, you know, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. But that's not the reason we give. That's cause and effect. People, that's health and wealth religion, you know. That's what these preachers get up and tell everybody, look, if you do this, that, or the other, if you sow this seed of faith, or you, you know, send us this money, or whatever, then all these things will happen. And they've sold their soul for cause and effect, that if I do this, the Lord will bless me and give me everything I want. You know, and I know that it's not necessarily always, you know, with wrong motives. Some people do that. They have the right motives in doing that. But I'm just telling you, listen, I've had this mentality before in my Christian life. Probably all of us had at some point. Where, you know, we have the mentality that if I do right, the Lord will bless me and this will happen, or whatever. If I do this, this will happen. And it's not always with impure motives, it's just wrong thinking. And what happens if you're thinking that way, you need to change your thinking. Because we don't serve God. We cannot please God and obtain His blessings through cause and effect. He said, that's what I was trying to do with my family. That's what I was trying to do with my kids. You know, do all these things to produce the desired effect. He said, but that's not the way we serve God. See, you don't serve God for cause and effect. It's not cause and effect. It's instead of cause and effect, it's obeying for blessing. There's a difference in that. Not, Lord, not if I do this, that, and another, it'll produce the desired effect. It's, Lord, I'm going to do this because this is right. Because I want to follow You and I want to obey You and I want to please You. And I'm just going to leave the blessings up to You and just pray that You will bless my family and pray that You will protect my children and pray that You will guard them and guide them and pray that You will help. Not I'm going to do this to produce this little desired effect and I'm going to do this and I'm the one constantly manipulating everything. No, it's, Lord, I'm going to try to be the best parent I can be and I'm going to try to guard them and protect their heart and do what You want me to do because I love You and because I want to please You. And Lord, just leave the blessings up to You. There's a big difference there. Isn't that right? Because here's the thing. This is what it all boils down to. One puts all the pressure and puts all the burden of the required effect on me. Like I'm the one that's doing it. If I do everything just right, then I can produce this desired effect in my child or in my home or in my marriage or in my own life. But at the end of the day, you and I can produce nothing. How many preachers, how many Christian families have you seen, I mean, that seem to toe the line just right and toe it straighter than anybody ever strayed it, and as soon as their kids got of age, they lost their kids to the world? Happens all the time. And I don't glory in that. That breaks my heart, and it breaks my heart even more now that I've got my own children, and I pray every day that God will save my children. It breaks my heart. But I'm simply saying we see it happen all the time. And this is why. Because we cannot do enough to cause the desired effect in somebody's life or even in our own life. At the end of the day, the enlightenment, the light has got to come from God. God has got to do it. Listen, a lot of the things, a lot of the boundaries, and this isn't just a message on parenting. This is just the illustration I've got on my mind right now, okay? And this is where I'm at. You can apply this to many areas of life. But I'm just simply saying that a lot of the boundaries that I'm putting in my own children's lives right now as their dad, and a lot of the boundaries, things I'm setting up in my own home and in my own life right now are things that I didn't even have in my life growing up. Yet the Lord saved me, amen? And the Lord changed me. And the Lord protected me. Amen. And so in other words, it's not necessarily about the boundary in and of itself. It's about the Lord. It's about pleasing Him. And it's about Him blessing. And the enlightenment comes from Him. Because He is the sun. He is the light. That's the work of God. You know why we pray for souls? We pray for souls because God's got to give them light. We pray for one another because the light's got to cover. Listen, there's no sales pitch that I can hit every nail just right and do it just right to persuade somebody to be saved. I can't do that and you can't do that. The enlightenment's got to come from God. He's got to do it. He is the sun, but then He's the shield, it says. That speaks of protection. See, God not only is the great enlightener, but He's the great protector. Amen. Every time I think about this, I always think of a quote that I've quoted, I think more than once, Stonewall Jackson, where he said, "My religious belief teaches me to feel as safe in battle as in bed." He said, "God has fixed the time for my death. I do not concern myself about that, but to be always ready. No matter when it may overtake me, that is the way all men should live, and then all would be equally as brave." Amen. Amen. I tell you, Stonewall Jackson was a man of God. They can take down every Confederate statue in America if they want to, but they were men of God. Amen. And he was a man of God. He knew God. And he said, listen, I don't concern myself with death. My religious belief and my trust in God teaches me I'm just as safe on the battlefield as I am in bed, as long as I'm in God's will. Amen. And that is the reality because our protection comes from the Lord. If it's not my time to go, nothing can kill me. Amen. But if it is your time to go, nothing can save you. Amen. God is our protection and He holds our days and He holds our breath and He holds every heartbeat in the palm of His hand. Amen. He is our sun and our shield. However, all these things are true physically speaking, but the greatest protection God ever gives is that of our soul. Amen. He did it through Jesus when He sent Him to the cross and He has protected us from eternal condemnation. He has protected us from ourselves even. in saving us from our sin, and no work is greater than this work of God on our behalf. Our protector. He is our son and our shield. And so we learn a little bit about the work of God. And do you know that as you look back on 2022, you're going to see that God being your son and your shield. All this past year. And you know what you're going to find next year? He's going to be the same thing. He's going to be doing the same work. Amen. We find out the work of God. Then number two, we find out something concerning the wisdom of God. Look at the next phrase. He said, the Lord God is a sun and shield. But then he says, the Lord will give grace and glory. He'll give grace and glory. Now, what emphasizes God's wisdom in that phrase is the fact that grace comes before glory in the phrase. You say, well, what are you talking about, man? Well, this is what I'm saying. Grace here in that phrase speaks of character. Okay? It speaks of God building character and working character into humanity, into His children. See, we are to learn grace and to grow in grace, the Bible says. Isn't that right? And so it's something we learn. It's something that we grow in. And to do so, we oftentimes have to face a lot of adversity. We have to experience many troubles and trials. We have to experience things that are difficult and hard. And those are the things that build and grow and help us to learn grace. But the important thing and the wisdom is that all those hard things build up our character. But only then, after they've built our character through that grace, only then can we handle the glory. Only then can we accept the glory and handle it right. Now, the wisdom in that is that God knows that. He knows that about man. He knows that man just can't handle glory, just straight glory, without first having the grace built up in him. Amen? See, if glory comes before we have the grace of character, it'll ruin us. In fact, you see that in a lot of people who get real successful too fast in life. As a matter of fact, that's why one of the qualifications of a pastor is not a novice. And it's for a practical reason. It's for a practical reason. In fact, he gives us the reason that he not be lifted up in pride. You know, because someone who's too, not necessarily, and by the way, being a novice has nothing to do with youth. Amen. It's got nothing to do with youth. There's some old men and old people that are still a novice spiritually. Should be a lot further down the road than what they are. And then there's some young people that are very, very far beyond their years spiritually. And a lot of times it's equated to youth because a lot of times it is the youth, and I understand that. But listen, a novice has nothing to do with age. It's all about where somebody is spiritually. Amen? but that whole thing of being young or being a novice, see, that glory comes so soon, so early on a novice, someone who's too young or too inexperienced to handle it. That very thing he says would happen is what happens. They get puffed up with pride. I can think back when I was in my early and mid-20s. I was in Bible college. I was just serving the Lord. I was just preaching, you know, wherever I got opportunity. And you know, again, I went off to Bible college. And, you know, I met so many, you know, young preachers and friends who were my same age. And a lot of them were married and had kids. And some of them even pastoring churches at the time, you know, early 20s, mid-20s. And some of them, I mean, preaching all the time, being used everywhere, used in every meeting. And it seemed like I was just kind of there, just kind of floating, you know. And I can remember at times looking around and thinking, you know, Lord, are you ever going to use me? You know, will I ever get to be used? You know, is this just me? Is this just my ministry just floating? You know, I wasn't married, didn't have a ministry, you know, so to speak. I wasn't pastoring. I wasn't preaching much. I was just floating, you know. It's the way it seemed. Well, you fast forward 5-10 years. And a lot of those guys that I looked at the time, and I just really, man, if I just be honest, I just envied them so much because it seemed like God was just using them and blessing them. Can I tell you that a lot of them are not even in ministry right now? They're not even in the ministry anymore. Some of them aren't even married anymore. They don't even have their homes anymore. They've lost their children. They've lost their homes. They've done. I mean, it's just, and I don't glory in that. And that's no ringing my own bell or anything. I'm nothing without the Lord. I mean, I'm just simply saying is that that's what we find in our life. That's what God does is God knows what we need and what we can handle. Listen, a lot of us don't have any more money than what we've got because God knows you and I couldn't handle it. Amen. And a lot of us don't have more than what we have because God knows we couldn't handle it. Listen, God hasn't used us or opened more doors for us or done more for us, the things that we wish He would do and He hasn't done or you know, whatever, because He knows we couldn't handle it. The grace comes before the glory. It always comes before the glory. Isn't it amazing how every time we face some loss or every time something doesn't work out the way we want to work out, we always say this. We always say, God gives grace. Because He does, right? We always find God's grace. And a lot of times that's what we've got to find first. We've got to suffer the loss. We've got to experience the grace. We've got to have those things worked into us before God can ever glorify us. Because if we don't have one without the other, if we don't have the one before the other, we just won't be able to handle it. And that's the wisdom of our God. And so what you'll find as you look back over the past year, you'll find that's been God in your life. And you'll look at every door that's closed that you wish was open. And every door that's open that you wish was closed, and you'll see everything that worked out that you wish hadn't, everything you hadn't worked out that you wish did. You'll look at all that, and what you'll find is that God was working grace into you before He glorified you. And you know what you're going to find next year? You're going to find the same thing. You know what it ought to do? It ought to help us just to trust the Lord more. Amen. Ought to help us to trust Him. Last of all, not only the wisdom of God, the work of God, but then this last phrase here, we find something concerning the character of God dealing with His wonder, the wonder of God. He says this very well-known phrase, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. You know, I think that a lot of people, maybe not necessarily God's people, but maybe some of God's people, kind of doubt this phrase, doubt this promise or this principle in the Word of God. I mean, it's very clear and straightforward that He will not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly. And I think some doubt this, potentially, because as they look at their life and as they look at maybe where they're at, they say, well, God hasn't given me everything I want. And, you know, and complain, you know, because, I mean, it says, give me everything, you know, no good thing will He withhold, but listen, God ain't give me everything I wanted. You know, and I think the reason it's doubted, and I think that's maybe said by some, is really for two reasons, and there's two reasons why. First of all, because of the nature of this blessing. This phrase is a tremendous blessing and promise. But you have to realize the nature of this blessing. It didn't say all the things that we want. He said, no good thing we withhold. You know, a lot of the things that we want are not good for us. Amen. There's been so many things I've prayed for and you've prayed for that we didn't get. Things I've prayed for, you've prayed for that didn't work out. And we wish that it did. And maybe even now, looking back, maybe it was years ago and even now, looking back, you think, man, I wish that had worked out. I prayed it didn't work out, but I wish it would have. But you know, God knows. God knows. And there are some things that I don't know why didn't work out, but God didn't work it out. But there's some things that didn't work out, and I know why. Now I know why they didn't. I pray that they would, but now I know why they didn't. And I thank God for half the stuff that I asked for that He didn't give me. Amen. As a matter of fact, we ought to be able to thank God for everything we asked for that He didn't give us. Amen. But I will say this, a lot of the stuff I do ask for, I don't get. He doesn't give me. He doesn't work it out. And we ought to always be able to thank God for it because He always knows. He knows. Because it's not, no, you know, everything I want He'll give me if I walk away. It's no good thing will he withhold. That's the nature of the blessing. But then there's a second reason, because of the nobleness of the blessing, or the nobility of the blessing. See, this blessing is not for everyone either. It's not for everything, and it's not for everyone. It's for those who walk uprightly. You say, man, a lot of my prayers are not getting answered, and I'm not getting what I'm asking for God. Well, how's your walk? Check your walk. Because it's all about those who walk uprightly, not just those that pray. As a matter of fact, I was just reading in Proverbs today and talking about those that turn their ear away from the law. He said even their prayer is an abomination. The prayer of somebody who will not receive the law. That's somebody who sits under preaching, straight Bible preaching, and hears and knows what God says and then goes out and does not do it. Will not do it. Will not live it. They turn their ear away from the truth. God says when you pray, it is an abomination. It is sickening when you pray. And then people scratch their head and think, why is God not answering my prayers? Might have something to do with our walk. And so a lot of people doubt this blessing, but you got to consider the nature of it and you got to consider the nobleness of it. It's not for everything and it's not for everyone. But one thing is true, is that God will be faithful to everything He says. And if you and I will trust Him and will pray and will walk uprightly, He will not withhold any good thing from us. It gives Him good pleasure to bless us and be good to us. And so all these things we've been able to see God to be this past year, and we can expect all of this to still be true of Him in the days ahead, in the weeks ahead, in the months ahead, in the year ahead. As long as the Lord tarries, this is going to be who He is. We see His work. We see the wonder. We see all these things. This is our God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace. Thank You for Your word and for helping us with it. I pray that You'll take it and use it, and Lord, drive it into our heart that we might trust You and obey You, live for You more in these days. We thank You for what You've done and thank You for what You're going to do. We ask, Lord, that You would continue to bless our church and bless our people here and help us, Lord, to continue to be faithful, Lord, reaching out, Lord, preaching the gospel, Lord, doing what we can to evangelize and reach the lost, and Lord, see converts in these days. But we know that our time is short. The odds are, Lord, we believe with all our heart, Lord, that You're going to come back soon. And so I pray that You would help us to be busy about Your work, doing what we can, Lord, to get the gospel out before it's too late. Lord, we thank You for the service tonight and blessing us with it. We pray that You'll help us as we leave this place. And we'll give You the praise, honor, and glory for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen.